state operations going while they keep negotiating. I'm Jamie Dunn.
It's Morning Edition on WYLL. The time is 8:49.
I'm Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Welcome to the opening market report here on WILL AM 580. A quick look at the marketplace shows us the trade now is up about a penny in the corn and the soybeans for the day. Wheat futures are a bit higher too, up 3 to 5 cents, and the live cattle futures are off about 20. Feeder cattle 62.5 lower. Lean hogs are down about 80 cents at this hour. The view from for most farmers is that they plan to sell at least a bit of what remains of their 14 and 15, or last year's corn harvest, before the new crop begins. That's called cleaning out the bins. Yet, a new poll says 25% of the respondents say they'll hang on and roll the dice right on through the new harvest season. We'll see how that affects the marketplace as we go through June, July, and August. The national average basis, by the way, for corn was unchanged at 18 cents under the July contract, with the DTN National Corn Index up 7 cents overnight at $3.41 a bushel. The national average basis for soybeans unchanged at 33 under the July contract. DTN National Soybean Index up 15 cents at $9.08 a bushel.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's check in on the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
A favorable mix of weather will continue across portions of the Midwest as we move out through the balance of this week and into the weekend. The majority of the precipitation that's going to occur will be intermixing with periods of sunshine and warm temperatures that will maintain a generally favorable environment for crop development and for late-season farming activity. The one exception to that, though, is going to be in portions of the western Corn Belt in eastern Nebraska, portions of Iowa, and northern Missouri. These areas will likely see enough precipitation to bolster soil moisture to the point of saturation, and the ground will be basically too wet for farming activity, and there's a good chance that there's going to be some soybean fields that don't get planted. This wet weather bias will delay field work for another several days, and perhaps into next week if there's going to be follow-up moisture. That's one of the reasons why the marketplace is a little bit disturbed about the wet bias in that area today. There will be opportunity for some drier weather. It's just a question of whether or not there will be enough time to get those crops into the ground after a period of needed drying takes place. Well, for the rest of the region, there's not nearly as much concern. We did have some dryness in portions of the eastern Midwest, of course, not too long ago, but we have seen that eased up, and the situation across the region remains very good right now, with expected rain and sunshine alternating across the region. At this hour, we do have showers and a few thunderstorms occurring from northwestern Missouri through central Iowa into portions of south central Minnesota. Otherwise, we have cloudy skies and some fog around in the lower portions of the Midwest, and it looks like the upper portions of the Midwest and primarily the Great Lakes region are seeing mostly fair to partly cloudy conditions. Temperatures across the region are warm this morning, mostly in the upper 50s and 60s. The temperatures are going to continue to be pleasant across the Midwest for an extended period of time. Near to slightly warmer than usual temperatures are expected to occur during much of the coming week. That means the daily highs will run mostly in the 70s and lower 80s throughout the region. Our low temperatures at night are expected to slip back into mostly 50 and 60 degree readings, with a few temperatures coming close to 70 degrees every once in a while in the southernmost parts of the region. But for the most part, it's going to be a very good period of weather across the region. Even in our neighbors to the southeast, across Carolinas and Virginia into parts of Georgia, will all see timely rainfall to fix their moisture deficits that have built up in recent weeks. And the southern portions of the U.S. plains, from Oklahoma into Texas will see an extended period of mostly dry and very warm conditions to help accelerate drying across those areas after record-setting rainfall occurred during the month of May. In the meantime, the northern plains are seeing a good mix of weather as well, but Canada's prairies are still under the gun for some kind of significant rainfall. The region is much too dry, and there's not much moisture in the pipeline. A few showers will evolve, but they're not likely to have a huge impact on the region until possibly the second half of next week. In the meantime, this El Nino event you're hearing so much about is still putting a lot of pressure on Southeast Asia. Portions of the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia are all suffering from significant dryness, and portions of Malaysia and Indonesia palm oil production areas are also encountering some erratic rainfall, although it is not as dry there as in these other Southeast Asian nations. And India's forecast is for a poor performance in the summer monsoon. And lastly, portions of China are drying out, and they too will become headlining news in the not-so-distant future. All of this is adding up to an interesting next few weeks around the world, and we'll expect to see some reaction in the marketplace, so stay tuned. Just because conditions are ideal here in our own backyard doesn't necessarily mean there won't be some excitement in the marketplace. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
All right, thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the weather forecast around the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's check the actual markets at this hour. Futures in Chicago are trading corn up a penny and a half, and the lead option July at $3.60 and a half. December 3.77 and 3/4, up a penny and a half, and the July futures at $4.50 and a half, a penny and 3/4 higher. July corn, or rather July soybeans, at $9.40 and 3/4 are unchanged at this hour. November beans, $9.18, up one. And January futures, $9.25 and a half, a penny and 3/4 higher. July bean meal down 30. Bean oil, 17 higher. Wheat futures trading the July soft red at $5.16 and a quarter, 3 3/4 higher. The hard red, up 5 1/4 in the lead option. Live cattle futures are down 20 cents at $153.10 per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle in the August at $222.75, or 57 and a half lower. And lean hogs are down 70 at $83.77 and a half. On the phone line to take a look at these numbers is Jason Clapp. He's at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, and they're in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Jason. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Todd. Pleasure to be here.
Well, your overnight trade yesterday and through the night tonight showed any follow-through at all to the moves higher yesterday?
Not really, but you know, with a correction like that, you don't always have to have follow through to find a little bit of stability. We're looking at some things here that you know, there's maybe some reasons for trade not to press things too much more to the downside. You know, we hit some last fall lows here earlier in the week, and we may not have enough agronomic information yet to go ahead and press to new lows. You know, those types of things may be put on the back burner.
You know, what kind of triggers are you thinking that would push the market deeper, and what would push it higher?
Deeper would be continued weather pattern like we're in, probably, you know, with plenty of moisture and reasonable temperatures here for the continued growing season. An acreage report at the end of the month could push one way or the other, and that's probably the next big report that we'll get. Did frequent rains across the Midwest this spring change any corn acres to beans, or vice versa? So that's kind of the next big report that we're going to be paying attention to here out of our office.
There is one other report between then and now. I think it's the 10th day of June. You can help me out with that one. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. June, not usually a big month for those numbers. Expecting any changes?
No, we're not. The June WASDE report is kind of like the March WASDE report to us. It kind of gets just glanced over, and the major focus turns to the end-of-the-month reports on acreage. But you can see some small changes in usage numbers, but we're not looking for anything too crazy.
You've come back to the acreage report a couple of times. You have estimates at this point as to what changes might be there?
We still are in the camp that we may not have gotten to 89 million acres of corn. Just based on the continued idea that corn's been at break-even or even sub-profitable levels for guys for most of the spring, there are pockets out there where there, it seems like there's been some big changes in acreage, and even we have some guys in the Dakotas that got their corn up and growing to spike level or a couple leaves, and then it got snowed on. So we're not quite sure, you know, what'll happen to that ground, but as far as going to corn, it seems unlikely to us. So we're looking for a few more bean acres and a little bit less corn acres here coming up for the end of the month.
And a quick view of the rest of the day. What do you think will happen?
I think you'll see things stay pretty calm here for the rest of the week, unless the dollar wants to jump one way or the other. It seems like that was one of the bigger drivers yesterday, and trade's probably focused, again, on next Monday's planning progress report. Seems like that sure helped the bean complex yesterday, so continued weather patterns out west show a little bit more rain, and that's not conducive to helping some states get caught up on planning.
Hey, thanks so much, Jason.
Yep, no problem.
Jason Clapp, of course, is with Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone on our way to a sunny high of 79 degrees here. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 59. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with an 83-degree top. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 64. And Friday, a 40% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and 83. Those showers continue into Friday night with a low of 62. And Saturday, we'll see sunny skies and a high of 82 degrees. We'll have more on the agricultural news and information in another hour. I'm Todd Gleason.
Good morning. A deadly respiratory virus is spreading across South Korea. One person originally got sick after a business trip. Now more than 1,000 have been quarantined. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Ahead this hour, resolving arguments over whether a routine vaccination has done harm. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green. The vaccine court in Washington, D.C. takes on cases like the one we'll hear about. A boy who developed an intellectual disability after being vaccinated. His parents saw a link, others did not. The NSA will now have to go to court if it wants to access your phone records. Plus, police in India took a pigeon into custody. They suspect it's a spy from Pakistan. Rafael Nadal is back in the quarterfinals of the French Open, and the tennis star turns 29 on this Wednesday, June 3rd. And the news is next.